Grassroots Marketing on CannabisRadio.com continues. We're going to bring on a guest we had on back in October. And on this program today, we will be discussing a new solution for payment crunching for cannabis brands. We'll bring that up real quickly with LeafLink's Chief Product Officer, Matt Hutchison, here on the program and a repeat appearance. But first, of course, I got to go ahead and talk about the fact that we are powered by the Buzz CRM. I know you're tired of me talking about all this, right? Yeah, I know. Okay. People have asked me, okay, you do this commercial all the time. Tell me you have people that are coming through and actually getting the buzz. Yes, they are. Yes. Do not doubt me. I do this for a living. We've been going on about it for months, though, and for good reason, by the way, because you can stop running on marketing tools if you help yourselves and get yourself locked into the Buzz CRM. It's 500 plus tools in one spot. Let me just lay it out for you. AI, that's your own sales team doing your emails, social, everything, even chats while you sleep. Workflows, personalized, like actually personalized, reach customers everywhere. SMS, email, you name it, missed a call. We took them back for you. Boom, lead saved. So it doesn't matter what kind of business you are. One plan, it actually works. TheBuzzCRM.com. It's been newly redesigned, complete overhaul, faster, smarter, easier. The lifeline you need after dealing with all that other stuff. You don't need all those extra programs, extra logins, extra everything. You want everybody to be involved in one platform to get it all done for you. TheBuzzCRM.com. Go find out for yourself. So my guest today, previously, came on and talked about LeafLink's new payment on sale through model, addressing the $3.8 billion in unpaid bills in the cannabis industry and the system being put out in various markets, including Michigan, Mississippi, Colorado, and expansion also going on. I'm sure it's already done since we've last talked. But the model guarantees payment for sold products and provides real-time insights to brands and retailers. But today we move on to another subject of importance. And again, my guest works at the nation's largest wholesale cannabis platform, addressing critical financial and operational challenges within the cannabis industry. And he's a proponent for adapting successful models from mature retail industries to the unique landscape of cannabis, especially given the complexities arising from federal prohibition, championing the use of technology to help cannabis businesses stabilize and thrive in a turbulent economic environment. Matt, thanks for being on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We're really excited to chat today and happy to be back.
Thanks. Absolutely. Back once again. But today we have another great product. Again, it's a new innovative solution. The payment on sale through or post is aimed at mitigating the severe payment crunch plaguing the industry, as we've talked about. Now, this is a consignment style system allowing suppliers or brands to provide products to dispensaries without upfront payment. It said brands are guaranteed payment for products once they are sold to consumers. And it benefits retailers by freeing up capital that would otherwise be tied up in inventory. So for brands, it ensures payment provides valuable real-time data on product sales, enabling them to optimize their operations. That's in the whole story of what is going on here. But I want to ask you then, Matt, really quick about the fact that the model is aimed to guarantee payment for brands as step forward. So in a consignment-style system, give me the layout about how what mechanisms are in place to protect brands from potential risks like product destruction, damage, inaccurate sales reporting? Fill me in on that.
Yeah. So the payment on sell through solution, while it has flavors of what traditional consignment would look like, given the complexities around the compliance space, it's not a true consignment model. Title does pass between the brand and the wholesaler and the retailer. But ultimately, it's a dynamic payment term that allows for the retailer to always stay right side up on their working capital. And so what we do is we essentially connect to the state compliance systems, as well as the buyer and the seller's bank accounts, track the actual movement of goods between the wholesaler and the retailer, and then from the retailer out the door to the consumer, and actually report back upstream exactly what has sold through. All the while, we're doing daily bank account balance checks to make sure that the retailer has the ability to pay the brand once that product actually sells through, so that we can feel confident standing behind this product and, you know, being able to share in some of the insurance policies that we've created and gone out and sourced due to the mechanisms and protections that we've created in the actual systems themselves. And so the way that it works is simply order moves from wholesaler to retailer. We track the sell through of that. We report on that between both sides. We act as that kind of intermediary to make sure that both sides are on the exact same page as to what's due and when it's due. We then automate the actual movement of funds between the accounts based upon a weekly reconciliation period that then allows both sides to know exactly what funds are being moved, why they're being moved, and then integrate with the accounting systems to make all of that process a very simple and easy to understand mechanism from like a understanding what your AR and AP structures look like.
Now, the story coming from that was featured about this was an MGA Biz Daily about the new post model system. And you mentioned how the industry needs to develop more foundational financial tools from scratch due to federal prohibition, unlike established industries. Now, in this as well, that what this aims to go and help for brands is take off the pressure, compel for companies to accept unfavorable payment terms like net 30 or net 60 due to resellers' cash flow issues, exacerbated by limited startup capital, the 280E tax burdens. Unfortunately, we don't have rescheduling to fix this problem yet, and competition in illicit markets. So to help this, as retailers are going to get more freed up capital, do you see any potential for the model to possibly encourage overstocking by retailers, or does the real-time sales data provided help mitigate risk and ensure the supply chain management?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Ultimately, there's not a ton of incentive for the retailer to overstock. Right. If they overstock, what do they get out of that? Space being tied up, opportunity for theft, opportunity for spoilage. And because title actually does transfer, when those things happen, they ultimately are on the retailer. Now, what we've also seen in the past is, where a sales rep thinks things are going to sell a lot faster than they actually do, not by any, malice terms, but these things just happen. Certain products that sell really, really well in one part of the state don't sell the same.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
For a variety of reasons. Maybe it's the local demographics. Maybe a strike is taking place in an important, like these very basic things like traffic patterns can really throw off sales of a particular SKU. And so in those instances, we actually have been able to identify, and I'll give you an example, identify where product is not selling through at the pace that you would anticipate, and have actually now incentivized the sales team or the seller to look at that data and understand what they should do next to actually encourage the movement of that product. So for example, in a local college town, there was a prepackaged flour that just simply was not selling. It sold well in every other part of the state, wasn't selling well there. It allowed the sales rep to reach out to the buyer and say, what's going on here? Why is this not moving? They identified that the consumer base really appreciates bulk flour and the deli style of it, given that they are kind of wanting to pick out the particular buds as well as their actual purchasing preferences and price points. And so they said, okay, let's go ahead and liquidate that inventory off the shelf and let's backstock you with bulk inventory so that you don't actually have to continue to hold this product and so that it doesn't spoil. And so let's take a 20% haircut on it rather than a 40% haircut later, and actually make sure that, both sides' margins remain intact as those things happen. So again, like that data visibility and that sharing of that information is so much more than just the working capital unlock. It's also how you actually maximize your margin and improve the relationship between the sales team and the retailer.
I haven't checked lately into what has been happening with the rescheduling issue, which we've been kind of ongoing talking about for a while now, where if the DEA were to go ahead and finally go through and finally had the administrative law judge, John Mulroney, to go ahead and move forward with the rescheduling process. We know that we have no clue as to when the court, that case is going to continue to go move forward. It's been in delay for months now. And, you know, we're still waiting right now, even for the fact of just getting the new nominee for the DEA to be confirmed. I believe that still hasn't even happened yet either, but we're waiting on all that. And because of that, we still have the issues with 280E that becomes a hindrance for the industry itself. So you talk about the fact that, you know, federal prohibition necessitates building financial tools from the ground up. And beyond what Post can do, what are some of the options that maybe LeafLink might be exploring on, or that the industry really needs from other mature industries? Any specific financial operational infrastructures that they're missing out on? And what is it would really would be helpful that can wait, that can still be happening before 280E gets removed?
Yeah. I mean, our philosophy has always been pay attention to what's happening, but realize that it's going to take a minute for it to actually come to fruition. Even let's say 280E comes through, or excuse me, the rescheduling occurs. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden everybody's going to start banking cannabis, right? Even if safe banking passed, your big banks would still take a good amount of time to really understand the space and want to understand who the right people are to operate with, because the operational burden on the compliance side is significantly more burdensome than potentially what it's worth relative to the rest of their business. So think a Bank of America has billions of dollars under their management, and the cannabis industry would be a portion of that. And it's not to say anything other than the fact that the risk at the moment might outweigh the reward. And so we think that even when some of these things happen, we do think they'll happen. We just think they're going to be a minute. There's going to be a time period even after that where there's going to need to be solutions available, as well as historical data to help indicate, you know, who to operate with and why. And so that's where LeafLink has kind of continued to lean in. And our acquisition of Dama in 2024 was a big portion of that, so that we could actually start to, you know, create more access to banking in ways that companies are more familiar with in more traditional spaces. And so we do think that while there is banking for cannabis, we think our customers are underbanked. They lack certain tools that most businesses have at their fingertips, whether that is something as simple as an integration to QuickBooks for bank reconciliation, which is very, very manual process for a lot of our customers today, to basic mobile apps with check scanning functionality, to things that more complex like treasury management and liquidity management. Those are all things that we think that the cannabis industry needs. That while the industry has solutions with local credit unions oftentimes, and there are a few people starting to get into space, but even there, those companies or those those businesses have not had the opportunity to invest heavily in the technology front the way that LeafLink has. And so we have actually, as we kind of speak, are rolling out a brand new mobile application that is a relaunch of the Dama mobile app to make it really, really user-friendly and intelligent way to actually manage your online banking. We've also structured working capital lines of credit for our banking customers, which is really kind of unheard of in this space in a lot of ways, as well as kind of continue to build out our partnerships with different funding sources and debt facilities to allow our customers to free up working capital to continue to invest in and run their businesses appropriately at rates that we think are very fair relative to the rest of the market, given the current lending rates that are prevalent even outside of cannabis.
Now, with all the issues we've talked about on the last program, when we talked about what you've been working on in terms of technology to today with the Post model, about $3.8 billion in delinquent payments. So this, again, is a significant intervention for the Post model. And what can you do right now that you're looking to do right now to help to educate and onboard brands and retailers accustomed to traditional payment terms and, yeah, you know, about adoption and impact on taking care of this delinquency figure?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, there's got to be broad-based access to these solutions. And so if I'm a retailer, it's tough for me to say, I've got a few of my sellers on this payment model. I've got some of my sellers on this payment model. So what we've actually done is leverage LeafLink scale to provide broad-based access to all of the sellers on LeafLink. And so now with our kind of standard pricing, there's not an additional upsell price to this solution. It's available, right? This alongside what we're calling auto pay, where the seller can require that the buyer goes ahead and sets up a payment on a future date. Those are available at no additional cost for the sellers on the platform. So there's really no reason not to go ahead and sign up as a seller. And as you mentioned earlier, we have rolled out these solutions nationally, with the exception of, Arizona, where there's not really a seed to sale solution. Instead, we've rolled out the auto pay solution is available, but we've also rolled out better reporting at the point of sale level in those states to solve some of the problems. But ultimately, we think the first step is giving broad-based access. So that's what we've recently rolled out at 420 was one of our big announcements. In addition to that, we're also investing heavily in local in-market efforts to reach out to retailers, build stronger relationships between the brands and the retailers, so that the retailers know the benefits of the different solutions, so that the retailers understand where their data is being leveraged and being used and not that is not being resold for incremental profits. It's simply to enable your brands to be better partners with you and to ensure that you're not getting upside down on your working capital structure, and ultimately to better move the industry forward with all these different solutions. And so, we see some really interesting data on our side. And this stat is just the LeafLink side, not even talking about what we also see on the LeafTrade side. There's about $221 million right now in delinquent payments on the LeafLink platform. That's a lot, right? That's just that's not open AR, right? Which is another, call it like million, $220 million in delinquent payments and another $500 million in open AR. It's just available on the platform today. These are huge numbers, right?
So amazing. And the promise, you know what? You're going to have this issue because I'll tell you, there's just not much help from anywhere else. I mean, we're still going to be in this kind of this gray, mired environment anyway. There's a story that came out, and I never got a chance to go and bring this up, but for the listeners that listen regularly to Cannabis Radio, I'll drop this in here. But there was a story that came out, New York Times, Seeking Alpha, extra reporting about the fact that the Biden administration, the DEA at that point, has been thwarting the rescheduling effort. That this was kind of being slow rolled through here just to go dead. So the second thing is, they're trying to say that the administration actively hindered efforts to reschedule from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, as supporters and opponents you know, rescheduling note of resistance within the agency. And, you know, the Office of National Drug Control Policy actually stated the process was slow and possibly opposed internally. And then a former senior DEA agent talking to the Times says that the DEA deliberately prolonged the process, effectively ending the rescheduling effort in the administration. And of course, nothing's happened ever since. So the thing was, is that what people were waiting for the last 18 months that we thought was actually going to be something that was going to help us get past something like this, so that maybe something like what Leaflink's doing with the post bond and other options wouldn't be necessary. But now, unfortunately, it's a necessary evil. And I mean, at least your Leaflink is here to go ahead and help in this respect.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, I don't think that rescheduling would have been a panacea anyways, right? Like, that is, I have not seen that article. I will look it up after we hop off, but it's unfortunate. It's super unfortunate. While it's
report anyway, we don't want to say that, you know, I'm not here to confirm anything, sure, but there are reports out there and people are on record talking about it.
I hope that it's not true, though. No, nothing surprises me anymore on either side of the conversation. Yeah. But ultimately, I don't know that we can sit back and wait for someone else to solve our problems, right? Like, I think, let's say that it happens, let's say that rescheduling happens. It's not like all of the past taxes that have been accrued are essentially going to get sent back to people. All right.
The thing is, there were companies that wanted to go ahead and try to go back after those back taxes it got passed.
Yeah. I don't know that it would work, right? Like, it's a whole conversation. Nonetheless, like, you still have price compression in the markets. That doesn't go away. You still have some states that are oversaturated in terms of, doors to population. I think Ben is, we talked about before we hopped on, Ben Bernstein, an analyst here at Leaflink, has continued to bring up, like, 1,000 stores in California make sense if they're appropriately distributed. They're not. They're clumped together across, these different areas. And so ultimately you create this crazy level of local competition that then creates price compression. I think some of the elements around the vertical channels creating a price compression mechanism when their products aren't selling or they over-manufacture is like another area. So I just think that there are so many other places where, if you are making a huge investment in inventory up front, and you are, just to be clear, you are making that investment. If you're doing it, whether it's net 30 or net 60, you own that inventory, you got to pay for it at some point. And you're also, as a brand, giving a pretty large, hefty loan. And like, there are some brands that I've been talking to in certain markets where they've got $6 million on the street at any given point in time. They don't look at it like that. They look at it as inventory, but it's really not. It's 90 days of sell-through that should be in their pockets so they can reinvest and grow their business. And, it's something where the post model is really trying to look at, yes, there are fundamental challenges in the industry, but there are also just fundamental like regulatory challenges, but there are also just fundamental challenges in the way that the industry is operating right now that it's aiming to try and solve for and rectify.
And all that the industry can do is continue to police itself. So when I continuously going to talk about when it comes to compliance, we know that the industry standard for cannabis itself is good manufacturing practices, or for the hemp industry, it's also just, you're going by the Cosmetics Act of 1930. There are set standards we can all kind of set ourselves up to on that respect. When it comes to the issues working around with finding financial institutions to work with us, or there's organizations like obviously that are working as best as they can to provide as much the facilities as financial institutions can. But at the same time, there's also the issue about the friction between payments between brands and retailers. So with this new post model, tell me about how, looking down the supply chain, how this will, and any other future Leaflink innovations will help impact cultivators and manufacturers that have financial instability, payment delays from the brands they supply.
Yeah. So a few different ways, right? I mean, obviously, if you know you're going to get paid based on your ability to actually move the product. It changes the way in which you build your brand and ensures that you're focusing on bringing traffic to the stores. But you know you're going to get paid for that, which I think is and you know when, I think, is the other big piece to that. So your cash flow is much more even keeled and you understand kind of the whys to it all and can plan around it. But I think being able to look at the data, and we actually have decoupled the sell-through visibility from the payment mechanism, so that even if a retailer is not in a position to commit to weekly payments, or if you know the retailer actually is a really good payer, but they like to have the extra flow for 30 days, which you know is very standard in a lot of industries, they can still share their data upstream with their supply chain partners, which is and again, no additional cost for our brands for them to access that once they get permission from the retailer. What it does is it allows the seller to know what products are performing well, which ones are not, which ones are paying their rent on the shelf. And that information does a few things. One, it helps them understand where they need to market. It also helps them understand when they need to be going and replenishing inventory so they're not losing sales. I think the unsung challenge in this industry is when a consumer comes in to buy a product, the brand, you know, may very easily get replaced if that product is not on the shelf. So I come in looking for a specific brand. Budtender's like, oh, we're out of that, but we got this one. It's just opened the door for your competitor to take up mind share of your consumer, which I think is a really big deal. So that's like, I'll call it the front of house side. The back of house side, a lot of investment happens to actually create goods, right? And so you've got a production planning schedule, you've got raw material inputs, you've got, you know, the different packaging elements that all go into it. You've got labor, you name it, right? With all of that, if you have an expectation that you're going to sell through tens of thousands of units, but actually that falls flat, if you've gone ahead and created that and you now have this massive backstock of inventory that you then have to discount yourself to move it off the shelf, which then the retailer likely discounts as well, to move that inventory, which then ultimately leads to some more of the price compression and supply and demand imbalances that we have continued to kind of see over the last, you know, couple of years here. And we see that data like pretty clearly, especially in markets like a Michigan or Arizona. While it's stabilizing still, you know, Colorado and Oregon have seen very real price compression.
That's directly to the website, leaflink.com. If you go right there, a couple of things you want to come point, I want to point out for you, all of you in the audience. First of all, you mentioned Ben Burstein, who's their corporate development manager we've had here. He's a stats guy we've talked to quite a few times here on this program. You can actually download the 2025 Wholesale Cannabis Pricing Guide. I'm sure he's got all those facts and figures that you want to go and find out in that. Wanted to point that out, first of all. Second, go into solutions and then look at either payments for retailers or brands, and then you'll find out for the payment sell-on through model through LeafLink, where you can go ahead and find all the information that you need on that. Anything else I should go and point out there with the website that people should be going to, Matt?
No, I don't think so. I think those are the big ones. You know, feel free to kind of watch the news. We're going to continue to release major product releases. I think our last one is the 420 All Access. We are targeting a Croptober release that we will be kind of making more publicly available here in the coming months. But we'll be looking to do kind of large releases every 6 months or so going forward. So really excited about the upcoming product changes that are coming.
Final question about Post is that it's already been available. Last we talked to you was Colorado, Michigan, and Mississippi, and plans were to go to California as early as 2025. So what other states do we have right now that are green lit for Post that people can go and take advantage of right now?
Pretty much every state is greenlit for Post where there is seed to sale enablement, so that we can make sure that that product is selling through. And so there's only, I think, two states right now where that's not the case. It'd be Arizona and New York as it onboards to BioTrack.
All right. Well, there you go. Everybody's getting all set up. post payment on sell through. Again, website is leaflink.com. Of course, I think we're going to come up on 10 interviews or at least feature we've had with Leaf Link here on Cannabis Radio. So obviously we like to go and follow back up, and we'll learn more about more of the new technology and innovations that come across with Matt, Ryan, Ben, and the team. Thank you for being on with me, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate the time. Have a great rest of your day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.